You better watch out. There might be a little issue in your life. He said that if you're doing something, especially if you're doing something for him, that criticism will come your way. Like I said earlier, if you want to escape criticism, if you don't want anybody to criticize you, oh, they made me mad, they hurt my feelings. If you don't want anybody to hurt your feelings, if you don't want anybody to criticize you, say nothing, do nothing, and be nothing.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of How to Receive Criticism. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of How to Receive Criticism.
Or you're not in the Word. But he says here that if you're in the Word, you should be able to go to somebody else. That's the principle, that's the model based in Scripture. See, we got all these other models that we design. I got to, once again, tell 10 people, then I'm going to go. I got to go do this, and then I'm going to go. Or I'm going to do this, and I'm not going to go. We got all these different models, but the Scripture only gives us this model right here. He says that you, as believers, should be able. So as I look at my critic, as I look at the person that's coming to me, one of the things I want to ask, is this a person of the Word? As a rule, now once again, nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect, all right? Now, like I said before, if you're perfect and you're sitting here and you're looking for the perfect church, then you go ahead and join it and then you're going to mess it up, all right? Because nobody is perfect. So we're not talking about looking for a perfect individual, but we're looking for somebody that's on a general basis has their life committed to the Word. Does this person have my best interest at heart? Look at Proverbs 27:6, back in the Old Testament. Proverbs 27:6. That when this individual comes to me, does this person have my best interest at heart, or do they have another agenda? You see, because some people come with agendas, and they want you to dance to their music. They want you to bow to their tune. So you got to ask the question, do they have an agenda? Proverbs 27 and verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So when a friend wounds you, when a friend says something that hurts you in your soul, that hurts you in your spirit, what does the Scripture say? That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Why? Because they have your best interests at heart. As a matter of fact, if you're a friend to somebody and you say, well, I love you, and you don't confront them, well, look at the very verse before that. It says, open rebuke is better than secret love. You can walk around talking about, it's just like, I remember one day I was talking to some saints, and I had just got finished eating, and I had crumbs on my face, and I've been talking to the saints, and nobody said anything to me. I went and started talking to some teenager, and they said, Pastor, what you got on your face, man? I said, see them saints, man, they talk, they probably, I love my pastor. I wish he didn't have that on his face. I wish my pastor didn't have crumbs on his face. But the Scripture says, open rebuke is better than secret love. Tell the brother to wipe the crumbs off his face so he don't go around embarrassing folk, man. So open rebuke is better than secret love. And so the Scripture says here that does this person have my best interests at heart? Do they have my best interests at heart? Or is this, somebody that, have their own personal agenda? Or even, sometimes saying, don't go with something petty. I remember I had somebody tell me one time, man, Pastor, your head is too big to be wearing that hat. I said, man. That didn't need to be said. Now that didn't need to be said. All right. So you come to the realization that don't go to folk with petty stuff. I don't like the way you tie your shoes. We're talking about some serious stuff. That if you love a person, that you're going because you have this person's best interest at heart. And then the next thing that you want to ask: has this person earned the right to be heard? Have they earned the right to be heard? Look what it says in verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. You know, now, if you stand in the grocery store and a complete stranger who you've never seen before comes up to you and says, look, let me give you some advice on how to raise your kids. Well, you know what? You can't tell me anything. You haven't earned the right to be. Yeah, I don't know you. Do I know you? Who are you? Yeah. See, people, you know, have they earned that right to be able to come? You know, have they? See, that's why we need to be investing in the lives of people. If we're investing in the lives of people, if we're sharing with them, if we're encouraging them, then you know what? We have earned the right to come. Now, once again, not to come and blow them away, not to come and do them in, but we have earned the right to be able to come and invest in their life with a criticism. But if we haven't been doing anything and all of a sudden we want to show up on the doorstep with a complaint about them, you really haven't earned the right to be able to confront that individual. That's why, you know, we are saints. You know, I heard Brother Jeff say it years ago. He said, you either need to be discipling somebody else or you need to be discipled. You're either in one of those modes. You either need, and you know, now I'm not going to put anybody in conviction today because that's another message altogether, but ask that question. Who are you discipling? And if you say, I'm not discipling anybody, well, who's discipling you? Well, see, I mean, if you look at Scripture, that's the model of Scripture, that either you're discipling or you're being discipled. But like I said, we'll leave that for another time. But when you're doing that, then you have the right to be able to go and confront somebody when there's an issue in their life. And then finally, has this person chosen the best words? And you know what? Let me say this. If somebody comes to confront you about an issue, you know what I would do? This is what I would do. I would just listen. And I wouldn't say anything. I would just listen. Let me hear what you got to say. Let me just listen. And then you know what? I would say, well, let me pray on it and get back with you. Because I find that oftentimes when people fire off on the moment, you know, they say things because they haven't really thought about what it is they're going to say. And they really haven't evaluated the situation. And it's like I said, there's some truth, a nugget, in even when a person criticizes you unjustly, there may be some truth, a nugget of truth that you can glean out of that. Proverbs 18 and verse 21. Proverbs 18 and verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So if this person, see, you know what? That's how you can tell if a person came to help you, because they're going to speak words of life to you. If they come and say, you idiot, you jughead, how in the world could you do something like that? Well, see, that's death right there. You done spoke death to me right there, and really, I've kind of shut down. I'm not even receptive mode anymore, all right? So you got to realize, how did this person come? Did they come and did they speak life to me as they came? Or did they come and did they just right from the gate just blow me out of the water and speak death? See, that's one thing I take in consideration. And if they came and they spoke death to me, I tell you what, I have a very difficult time receiving it. You know, there's a way that you come to folk when you got to deal with an issue. And you don't come blowing people out of the water. And one question I would ask even is when they come, look, you know, do you have all the facts? Now, and once again, that would be a part of my reflection as I would sit back and say, well, you know, I thank you for coming. You know, let me take this and spend some time with the Lord and let me get back with you. And then I would be thinking, as I'm praying, I'd be saying, does this person really have all the facts? You know, because then when I come back and we sit down again, that's the thing that we're going to go over. All right. The next thing is you got to reflect on the attitude. Reflect on the attitude. What was the attitude of the person that came? And then, you know, I heard somebody say, you know, you want the ingredients for destructive criticism. You want the ingredients for destructive criticism. Take a little thoughtlessness and put it in the bowl. Mix it with a generous helping of selfishness. Stir it around. Put it in the oven, bake it, and when it comes out, top it with some self-righteousness. And you know what? You got the perfect mix for destructive criticism, all right? And so we need to realize that we need to reflect on the attitude of the person that came. Has it been done in private? Matthew 18:15. Very important. Matthew 18:15. You know, as you came to me, did you come in private? All right. Secondly, Ephesians 4:32. Has it been done gently? Or did you come in here roughing me up, beating me up? Did you take a baseball bat and come here and beat me across the head and beat me down? Has it been done gently? Has it been done? Here goes the key now. And I said this a couple weeks ago. Has it been done therapeutically? You know, has it been done with the whole idea that, you know, from the gate, when we sat down at the table, from the very beginning was the idea and the intention in mind that we're going to bring about a healing here. That's my sole objective, is to bring a healing. Has it been done therapeutically? And then lastly, has it been done lovingly? You know, did this person speak the truth in love? Or did they just, once again, you know, speak words of death to me? And then I got to take into account my attitude when somebody comes. Not only the attitude of the person that's coming, but I got to take into account my attitude, and I got to ask, did I listen with an open heart? Proverbs 18:13. He that answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and a shame to him. See, now, if once you started talking, I got mad, I stopped listening. I just stopped. Why? Because now my anger is taking control. If once you stop talking, I started rationalizing and thinking about how I'm going to answer and how I'm going to protect myself and how I'm going to defend myself, then I stop listening. You know, because what? As soon as I get done, what are you going to do? You're not going to say thank you for taking the time to come share with me. You're not going to say that. What are you going to say? You're going to start firing back as to why, you know, you just justify yourself to do what you did. So, you know, when I'm in this conflict and somebody confronts me, then I need to have an open heart. I need to sit there with an open heart and receive what it is that the person is saying. The next point, reflect on the affirmation. Reflect on the affirmation when somebody comes to you. In the notes it says, when dealing with criticism, it is also important to consider the number of critics. In order to execute capital punishment under the Mosaic law, there had to be two or three witnesses to testify against the accused, Deuteronomy 17:6. If the criticism against you is confirmed by more than one person, you should give it more consideration. All right? And now, I don't know. Let me go on and say this. I don't know how it is. I see some of God's people that they done been addressed by something by three or four people, and they still don't see that they're the problem. Everybody else is the problem. All right? It's like the guy said, if one person calls you a donkey, pay no attention. If two people call you a donkey, you need to consider it. If three people call you a donkey, go saddle up. Yeah, I be seeing, man, people, you know, people got issue with everybody. And they don't see that, you know. At what point do I, you know, I ask the Lord sometimes when I look at people in the body of Christ, I be saying, at what point does this person say that I'm the problem? Revelation. Epiphany. Man, I am the problem. At what point does that happen? And we need to see that, you know, that's why, you know, maybe if one person confronts you, and there's another individual that you feel close with, you know, I would take that information that was given, and I would, do you see this in me? Do you see this about me? But what do we do? The first thing we do is shut down. That we don't receive. We get, you know, we got the gift of denial. You know, some people got that spiritual gift, denial. I'm just not going to receive it. You know, we need to be in a, you know, receptive mode. You know, this, once again, they criticized Jesus. They criticized. He was perfect. He never sinned. He never did anything wrong. And they criticized him. How in the world do you think you're going to escape? You are not going to escape criticism. You know, like I said, if you don't want to be criticized, say nothing, do nothing, and be nothing. And you won't be criticized. Reflect on the affirmation. And then finally, I'm going to close with this. Reflect on it accurately. Reflect on it accurately. As you reflect on the criticism, you will discern that either it is legitimate or invalid. At that point, you will have to act accordingly. That when you, that's why I say, you know, a lot of times, you know, maybe if there's some initial things that you need to say at that meeting, some things you need to say, but for the most part, I would just be in a receptive mode if somebody came. And I would say, well, let me pray about that. Let me take that in consideration. And I would go and I'd begin to reflect upon it. You know, it was said of Abraham Lincoln that one time one of his cabinet members called him a fool. And Lincoln went and verified it. This guy's name was Mr. Stanton. And he verified the fact that Mr. Stanton had called him a fool. And somebody said, well, aren't you going to do anything to him? And Mr. Lincoln said, Mr. Stanton is a very wise man. And if he said I'm a fool, then I better look into the matter. You know, what was he saying? He wasn't saying that he was a fool. He didn't agree. He said, if he said that I'm a fool, then I better go look into the matter. And would to God that we take that. If somebody accuses us of something, would to God that I go look into the matter. Amen. That I just go look into it. Now, once again, I'm not saying that's right, wrong, indifferent. Just let me go look into it. Amen. Let me go see if what is being said about me is true. Because, you know what, just think about Samson. Three times Delilah tried to get him and trick him. Three times she tried to find out where his strength was. Three times he gave her an answer. And you know what? He didn't see it. He didn't see, or if he saw it, he just was overlooking it, all right, what she was trying to do. And so sometimes we are so into ourselves. You know, it's just like the poem said, I had a little tea party this afternoon at 3. T'was very small, 3 guests in all, just I, myself, and me. I ate all the sandwiches, myself drank all the tea, was also I that ate the pie, now passed the cake to me. See, sometimes, you know, all we see is ourselves. That's all we see. And if the criticism, we need to sit out and we need to reflect on it. Once again, not saying that I agree or disagree, but let me just take it and let me reflect on it. Well, what if the criticism is legitimate? Well, four things. If the criticism is legitimate, repent, ask God for forgiveness if what is being said about you is true. Retrace, go back and see who you may have to make things right with. Restore, make things right with others. And then do this, rejoice. Rejoice that you were able to deal with a fault and get better. Rejoice that you were able to deal with a fault and get better. That this person loved you enough to not let you go walk around with crumbs on your face, but they loved you enough to tell you and that it made you better. There was once an oyster whose story I tell, who found that sand had gotten under his shell. Just one little grain, but it gave him much pain. For oysters have feelings, although they're so plain. Now did he berate the working of his fate, which had led him to such a deplorable state? Did he spend endless hours in self-pity reflection? Or did he curse the government and call for an election? No, as he lay on the shelf, he said to himself, I cannot remove it. I'm determined to improve it. As the small grain of sand, which had bothered him so, became a beautiful pearl all richly aglow. Now, this tale has a moral, for it is grand. What an oyster can do with a morsel of sand. What couldn't we do if we'd only begin with all the things that get under our skin? Learn a lesson from the oyster. Learn a lesson from the oyster. Man, let the criticism birth pearls in your, let it birth pearls in your life, man. Let that criticism birth pearls and you come out on the other side better and bigger and stronger than when you went in. Legitimate criticism. What about invalid criticism as I close today? Invalid criticism. 4 things on that. Look, number 1, for any nugget of truth in the criticism. For the sake of repetition, I'll say it again. A broken clock is right twice a day. All right? Look for any nugget of truth in the criticism. Secondly, level with the critic. And that's why I'm saying maybe you need to just reflect and then set up another meeting to sit down with the individual. Reflect with the critic and point out the inaccuracy of the criticism. All right? Reflect on it and point out if anything that was said was inaccurate, if they misunderstood anything, then when you come back, you're able to say, look, once again, and it says right there, thank the person for coming. Thank them for their concern. But then point out, now this is what went on. This is actually what happened. Okay? Love. Love the critic if he came in the right spirit. Love the critic if he came in the wrong spirit. Love the critic if he came in the right spirit. Love the critic if he came in the wrong spirit. And then finally, leave off arguing with the critic. Don't start to argue. I mean, if you come and you see that you prayed about it, you search what this person said, and you found that there are some inconsistencies in their approach or in what they said, you know, point out what you felt, you know, point out what you felt was off in the presentation, and then you know what? Leave it at that. Leave it at that. Now, if this person came in the right spirit, they're not going to argue with you. But if they came in the wrong spirit, they probably want to argue with you. And then, you know, which you don't want to start and argue with them. Because the writer of Proverbs says, where there's no wood, the fire goes out. The story is told of a judge who had been frequently ridiculed by a conceited lawyer. When asked by the friend why he didn't rebuke his assailant, he replied by saying, in our town lives a widow. And this widow has a dog, and this dog barks at the moon every night. All night long. And then he went on to deliberate and do some other things. And somebody stopped him about 15, 20. Oh, wait a minute. Now you told us about this dog that barked at the moon, and you didn't. Why did you tell us that? Why did you bring that out? And he said, oh, by the way, the moon went on shining. And that's all. The moon went on shining. See, when somebody barks at you with criticism, process it. If it's just, deal with it. If it's unjust, keep on shining. Keep on shining. That dog barked at the moon all night. All night long. It didn't affect that moon. That moon just kept shining. Yeah. He just kept shining. How do you receive criticism? You can receive it. And you know what? How do we bump heads with other saints? See, this is how we bump heads. See, you know the problem is that many people who weren't here today to hear this message, they're going to end up bumping heads with somebody. They're going to be in this situation. Now, there's going to be some people sitting here today that walk right out of here. And you see, look, I want everybody to turn around. You see those erasers on the door back there? See, when you walk, you got to be careful because sometimes it erases the message off of your mind. Watch out for me. You know, when you leave, walk right in the middle and stoop down a little bit. And those erasers won't get you. They won't get you. So, you know, hopefully you won't let it get erased. But, you know, then there'll be others that, you know, will end up in this situation and won't be able to deal with it. And I just pray that as we realize, Jesus said, woe unto you when people speak good things about you. All right? Then you got to be careful. And on the flip side of that, what was he saying? Expect criticism.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Attitude Adjustment, How to Correct a Bad Attitude. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, How to Receive Criticism, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request How to Receive Criticism. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request how to receive criticism, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.